Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The upside of a mental illness. Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, Monday, September 14th, 2026, for our health article for the month of September. It is called the ADHD Advantage, the ADHD Advantage, Redefining the Strengths and Challenges of Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. That is what ADHD stands for, and we will read through both days of this two-day article with you and talk about the vocabulary, talk about some of the ideas, give you a chance to think a little bit, and most of all, to grow confident in your English. And when I say we, of course, I do mean myself and my co-panelist joining us for both days. Please welcome Rebecca.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone. Happy to be on the program.
Good to have you with us, Rebecca. So, ADHD, like we said, that's short for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Now, I think most of those words we probably know, but Rebecca, what does deficit mean?
So, deficit means you're missing something. You don't have enough of something. So, if you're in a financial deficit, it means you don't have enough money.
Right, right. And we often hear about the deficit that a federal government is running in terms of how much money it has versus how much it owes, how much it's borrowed. It means basically a lack of something. So, attention deficit, a lack of attention, hyperactivity. Hyper means above normal, way above normal, in fact. So we're all pretty active and go about various activities in our daily lives, but hyperactivity means too much activity, too much excitement, too much energy, can't settle down, can't focus. And so that is part of attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, ADHD for short. But yes, an interesting point to this article here, again, that we see in the title itself, the ADHD Advantage. ADHD is considered a mental illness, but here it is paired with the word advantage. So, Rebecca, just to get us thinking about this, is there something in your life, not necessarily ADHD or even a mental illness, but something in your life or something you've seen which seems like a hardship, seems like a disadvantage in some way, but actually has a positive side to it?
One thing I can think of is a lot of times because of some physical problem we have, then we have to work harder to get healthy. Mm. And for me, that was some years ago. This would be about almost 20 years now. It's almost 20 years ago. I hurt my back. I have a slipped disc. Mm. I had a slipped disc in my back. So it was really painful. And I got that probably through years of not standing straight. Mm. Because I'm on the tall side. So I think living in Asia, it's just, for me, it was just easy to slouch. Now, that's a bad excuse, but that's kind of what happened. And then I was doing some exercising in the gym, and I hurt my back really bad. So I had a slipped disc. But this slipped disc actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
A
blessing in disguise, this phrase just means it's something that looks really bad, but it's actually a blessing. So the blessing, it's maybe it's wrapped up in a garbage bag, but if you open the garbage bag, it's a gift.
Right.
And I think my slipped disc, in a way, was a blessing in disguise. Because of my slipped disc, I learned to swim, and I learned to exercise more correctly, to exercise more properly. So now, like 20 years down the road, I am healthier than I was 20 years ago before my slipped disc.
Wow, how about that?
So I think it was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, no, that's a great example, in fact. I think, you know, most of us have suffered from physical injury at one time or another, and sometimes that can lead to some kind of new strength or ability that we develop to compensate for the injury. I myself am thinking of simply whenever I have a head cold, just, you know, sniffles, sore throat, that sort of thing, pain in the head, and I'll need to take some time off from work or time off from school. It will often give me a chance to get caught up on my reading. Things that I've wanted to get to but just didn't have time. Suddenly, I'm forcibly removed from my normal activities. And so, you know, in order to rest, I need to do something. And reading can be a good thing to do to, you know, if feel well enough, of course, if you're not too sick. But that's, you know, that's a minor example. That's obviously not the same thing as having a mental illness like ADHD. But certainly, I think the more we can, when we have a hardship of some sort or a difficulty or a setback of some kind, we may want to see, you know, if there is a positive side to it in some way that we could make use of. But that is the basic idea that we're going to explore in our article with regard to ADHD. And so we will do two readings today. Let's go into our first reading now.
The ADHD Advantage, Redefining the Strengths and Challenges of Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. In 2010, clinical psychiatrist Dale Archer published the New York Times bestseller, Better Than Normal, a book that highlighted the often underappreciated benefits of various psychiatric diagnoses. In 2015, Archer published a follow-up book, The ADHD Advantage, focusing on some of the more positive attributes of this condition. In it, he profiled high achievers with ADHD, including the most successful athlete in Olympics history, Michael Phelps, comedian, actor, and television host Howie Mandel, and JetBlue founder David Neeleman. Archer's research ultimately led him to a hypothesis that ADHD exists on a continuum, which he plots on a 10-point scale. Those who score 4 and below might not even know they have the condition. Those who score 9 or higher are likely to struggle in everyday life and may require medication. Those featured in his book fell between 5 and 8. Those in that range often report struggling in certain domains while enjoying advantages in others. The range is associated with above-average resilience and creativity. These folks enjoy multitasking, remain calm in crisis, are more outgoing, and can hyper-focus on things they're passionate about.
All right, so right at the beginning of our article here, we meet a fellow named Dale Archer. Dale Archer. Who is Dale Archer, Rebecca?
Dale Archer is an author, but he's also a psychiatrist. So what is a psychiatrist? A psychiatrist is a doctor that treats mental illness. And a psychiatrist can also give medicine. So that's a difference. A lot of times people ask, what's the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist?
Yeah.
A huge difference is a psychiatrist can prescribe medicine. So usually most psychiatrists, they work in hospitals.
Right.
And then as psychologists, they might work in a clinic, they might work in a school, they also might work in a hospital in some hospitals. A psychologist does not prescribe medicine.
Right. Yeah, I've always thought of a psychologist as someone generally more involved in the research side of psychology, whereas the psychiatrist generally is more the person who is involved with the practical applications of the findings of psychology and dealing with patients, you know, who come to them for treatment, as you said.
Right. The psychologist can also treat you, but the treatment is different in that they will talk with you and they'll walk you through your problems, but they cannot prescribe medicine. They are legally not allowed to prescribe medicine.
I see. Okay, so both the psychiatrist and the psychologist practice what is sometimes called the talking cure.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay.
The difference is psychiatrist will prescribe medicine. That's part of the treatment.
I see. Okay, good to know. So yeah, this psychiatrist, Dale Archer, published a New York Times bestseller, not just a book, but a New York Times bestseller called Better Than Normal, a book that highlighted the often underappreciated, there's a big long word, often underappreciated benefits of various psychiatric diagnoses. What's a diagnosis?
So a diagnosis is basically when a doctor says, okay, Rebecca, your problem is you have COVID or you have the flu.
Yeah.
So they give a name to the condition you have.
Right, yeah, a diagnosis, and the plural form is diagnoses. And that big long word a moment ago, often underappreciated, they're just three simple words. To appreciate something means to recognize its value. Underappreciate means to recognize its value less than is perhaps appropriate to underappreciate something. And so something that is often underappreciated is frequently not recognized for its full value. And in this case, the thing is the benefits of various psychiatric diagnoses, not just ADHD. And then in 2015, we read, this same Dale Archer published a follow-up book, a second book continuing on a theme or idea from the first book, The ADHD Advantage. And what did he do in this book, Rebecca?
Well, in this book, he goes in further depth. He profiles high achievers with ADHD. So he finds some very, very successful people, and then he talks about their journey. And then some of these people include the swimmer Michael Phelps. I think Michael Phelps, here it says he's the most successful athlete in Olympics history, probably because he won the most gold medals.
Right. It depends how you define successful. But
yes,
yeah,
but Michael Phelps is extremely well known. He's an American swimmer, and he is incredible. Like, if you have to compete against Michael Phelps, I feel sorry for you.
Right. Yeah. Michael Phelps, the great Olympic swimmer. Archer's book also profiled comedian, actor, and television host Howie Mandel, perhaps a bit better known in the States than abroad. He was famous, I think, mostly for a show he had, about 20 years ago now, a game show called Deal or No Deal, in which he played a host, and contestants would be offered a deal of some sort. And Howie Mandel was like the middleman for this shadowy figure in a room upstairs above the set that seemed to be making deals about how they could win money or lose money or something like that. But also JetBlue founder David Neeleman. JetBlue, as you may know, a well-known airline. And so these three individuals, among others, are all people with ADHD, but who have also achieved greatly in public settings. And so we go on to read Archer's research between these two books, Better Than Normal and The ADHD Advantage. Archer's research ultimately led him to what, Rebecca?
To a hypothesis that ADHD exists on a continuum. So a hypothesis is when we do research, most of the time we can only have a hypothesis. So that's the idea or the suggestion for why something is the way it is.
Right.
But a hypothesis is not a fact.
Exactly.
Because a hypothesis remains to be proven.
Right.
So many things in science are still at the hypothesis stage.
Right.
We haven't got to the point where we can say definitively, for sure, this is a fact. So his suggestion or his idea is that ADHD exists on a continuum. And continuum, it's a big fancy noun, but what it really is just to continue. It means you have a scale, and you could be on one end of the scale slightly or more. On the other end of the scale, you're a lot. For example, you could be an extrovert. You're outgoing.
Right.
Now, like for someone like me, I'm an extrovert, but on the scale, I'm more in the middle. And then you might have someone who is an extreme extrovert, right? Like I think of some of our friends, like Gabe.
Sure.
Our colleague Gabe, he is an extrovert. He loves people. He loves hanging out with people. He's super extroverted. Or John Telfer, he's also a super extrovert.
Yes, good example.
So extrovert or introvert is actually also on a spectrum. And that's another word for continuum.
Right, yes. Spectrum range. Basically a range with, the smallest amount at one end and the largest amount at the other end, so to speak. Or, the most intense, the least intense. And so Archer has this hypothesis, this theory that ADHD exists on a continuum. And he has a 10-point scale. In fact, he doesn't just give this theory, he gives an actual example of it. If ADHD, if it exists on a 10-point scale, then those people who score 4 and below on the scale from 1 to 4 might not even know that they have the condition. They have it, but they might not even know they have it because it doesn't impact them in such a great way. Those on the other end of the continuum, on the other end of the spectrum, those who score 9 or higher from 1 to 10 are likely to struggle in everyday life and may require medication. So there it's very obvious and really interfering with people's lives. But next paragraph, those featured in his book, Michael Phelps, Howie Mandel, David Neeleman, they fell on the continuum between 5 and 8. And it goes on to say that those in that range often report struggling in certain domains. Certain domains, a domain just means an area, a particular area that you know about or that you have control over. So people between 5 and 8 struggle in certain domains but enjoy advantages in other domains. And it goes on to say that the range, this 5 to 8 range, is associated with what, Rebecca?
With above average resilience. So when I think of resilience, I think of a rubber band. So if you're resilient, it means that you can be stretched. Like you can, you will not collapse. Like you will continue, like even when things get hard. So that's resilience and creativity.
Right. Like a rubber band, you can be stretched, but you bounce back. You go back to your original shape after you're stretched, after the period of stress. And so someone who is not resilient, perhaps like a rubber band that breaks, is unable to go back to its original shape, its original strength after the period of being stretched. So, yeah, this 5 to 8 range on the Archer spectrum of ADHD, the Archer continuum, is associated with above average resilience, creativity, and it goes on to say these folks also enjoy multitasking, they're better able to remain calm in a crisis, they are more outgoing, more extrovert perhaps, and can hyper-focus on things they're passionate about. Little play on words there. Those with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder are able to hyper-focus on things that they're passionate about, not just anything. They have to be passionate about it. So there's much to know about ADHD here and this intriguing idea that it exists on a continuum where you might have a little bit of it or a lot of it and how that impacts your life. We'll go on to talk more about this in our second reading. So let's go into our second reading now.
ADHD remains a mystery and a paradox. While our understanding of the disorder has come a long way, there is still a lot we don't yet know. On the one hand, many with ADHD feel almost paralyzed by mundane tasks, struggle in traditional academic and workplace settings, and suffer other mental health challenges, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, and eating disorders at higher rates. They are also more likely to have unplanned pregnancies, get into car accidents, and even have shorter average lifespans. On the other, many are also more creative, entrepreneurial, and intuitive. In fact, some of the world's highest achievers, including Simone Biles, Paris Hilton, Michael Jordan, Greta Gerwig, Richard Branson, and Jamie Oliver credit ADHD for their success. One person might experience it as a disability, explains Sarah Greenberg, a licensed psychotherapist for Neurodivergence, nonprofit understood.org. ADHD also comes with a certain set of strengths, particularly when the environment is a right fit for that brain.
Right. So right at the top here in our subhead, there's a word we should understand. Our subhead reads, ADHD remains a mystery and a paradox. Rebecca, what's a paradox?
Paradox, usually we're talking about contradictions. So like there's something wonderful, but at the same time, there's something terrible.
Yes.
So they're existing together.
Right.
So it's a paradox. It's contradiction.
Yeah, it's a paradox is very similar to contradiction. Technically speaking, a paradox is something that seems like a contradiction, but is not in fact, or once you look at it, once you understand it better, is actually not a contradiction. It just seems like that from the outside. Like, for example, people who say you shouldn't criticize the government will often criticize it as soon as there's something that they disagree with it. No, that's a paradox.
Or it's they not, might not be criticizing the government, but they're criticizing their employer.
Or yeah, I mean, government or any authority figure,
yes.
You know, there is a basic human sense across all societies and countries and cultures that you shouldn't criticize the government, you shouldn't criticize leadership. But people who say that, who preach that, will often turn around and criticize the government or the leadership as soon as they do something which they disagree with. So again, it's not a contradiction. It's not saying that, you know, I am standing and I am sitting at the same time, which is impossible. It's just something that seems contradictory from the outside until you understand it better, until you unpack it. That's a paradox. And so ADHD remains a mystery and a paradox, obviously. It's something that is a disease, you know, a negative thing, somehow also has a positive aspect to it. You know, it seems like a contradiction, but it does exist. You know, these people like Michael Phelps and David Neeleman and Howie Mandel have ADHD, but have also, they believe, benefited from its effects. And so in our section here, we read that on the one hand, many with ADHD feel what, Rebecca?
It's a very strong word, paralyzed. So when you're paralyzed, it means you can't move. Like paralyzed in medical terms is when someone cannot move because they have an injury to that part of the body or another part of the body that affects it so that they can't move. But a lot of times we also use paralyzed with fear, like you can't move or you're paralyzed for some reason. You're not actually, you can't move. It just means you emotionally you can't move or mentally you can't move. So here it says paralyzed by mundane tasks. And mundane just means boring, ordinary tasks.
Right.
Just like mundane tasks, like brushing your teeth, coming to work. These are mundane, everyday tasks.
Right, right. Just everyday, ordinary things that most of us take for granted, don't even give a second thought about. But someone with ADHD can feel almost paralyzed by these ordinary tasks. They will struggle in traditional academic and workplace settings. That word traditional, we'll get back to the idea behind that later in the article. But they also suffer other mental health challenges, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, and eating disorder, all at higher rates than people without ADHD. So we're getting a clear picture here that ADHD, if you have ADHD, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be this great Olympic athlete or a popular television host or something like that. ADHD is an illness, and it can really interfere with your life and make your life more difficult than someone without the illness. People with ADHD are also more likely, it goes on to say, to have unplanned pregnancies, get into car accidents, and even have shorter average lifespans. So, you know, before you start thinking, oh, sounds great, I have ADHD, I can be like Michael Phelps, think again. There's two sides to this illness. But the next paragraph leads us to, there is this other side in which many people with ADHD are also what, Rebecca?
They're more creative. They're entrepreneurial. They like to start new businesses or have like new ideas. And intuitive. So intuitive is the adjective for intuition. And intuition is just something that you just know. Like you just know in your heart. It's not because of any proof, outside proof. It's just something that you just know.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you had never seen a car before and you're suddenly presented with a car, if you are intuitive, if you have an intuitive understanding, you might look at the car and think, oh, okay, it looks like someone sits here behind this wheel and maybe this wheel steers the other wheels that make the car go, and this little key here must turn on an engine of some kind. This is just an example, but as opposed to having all that explained to you by someone, if you are intuitive, if you have strong intuitive abilities, you can just sort of grasp it by by sort of natural process without thinking about it. And we go on to meet more people, more famous people who have had ADHD. Simone Biles, another great Olympic gymnast. Paris Hilton, the Kim Kardashian of her day. Michael Jordan, the great basketball player. Greta Gerwig, popular actress and film director. Richard Branson, founder of Virgin Atlantic Airlines. It seems like ADHD people particularly are good at founding airlines. And Jamie Oliver, this celebrity cook with a successful television show about cooking. All of these people credit ADHD for their success. They don't just say, oh, I succeeded in spite of ADHD. They say, I succeeded because of ADHD. And then in our final paragraph here, we meet Sarah Greenberg. Who's Sarah Greenberg, Rebecca?
She is a psychotherapist. We have a lot of psychiatry terms, right?
Yeah.
So psychotherapist is similar to a psychiatrist. It's someone who practices the treatment of mental illness. And they discuss the person's problems with them instead of using drugs or operations. Oops, I'm wrong. A psychotherapist is very different than a psychiatrist.
Right.
Because they don't give drugs.
Right. So that sounds more like the psychologist.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess it is like a psychologist who talks to people.
Yeah. And she is a psychotherapist for neurodivergence. Now, this is a tricky word here, neurodivergence. It means basically a disorder or condition, such as ADHD, and though there are others too, that impacts the way the brain processes information. So neurodivergence has nothing to do with whether this is a disease that also has a positive side. This is just a type of disease or condition that impacts the way the brain processes information, like ADHD or autism, autism spectrum disorder, dyslexia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, perhaps terms that our listeners might be familiar with. So Sarah Greenberg works in this field for this nonprofit organization called Understood.org. And she closes us today with this quote, ADHD also comes with a certain set of strengths, particularly when the environment is a right fit for that brain. And that recalls back to that word traditional. In the first paragraph of this section, it said that the author said that many people with ADHD struggle in traditional academic and workplace settings. And now Sarah Greenberg is saying that when the environment is a right fit for that brain, when it matches the particular brain of a person, then a disease or a condition can seem not so difficult or troubling. We'll unpack that idea more tomorrow in our day two of this article. So we do invite you back tomorrow to join us again for day two, Rebecca and myself. However, for today, I am Peter.
And I'm Rebecca.
And we are bidding you good day.
Bye-bye.